CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers now claiming we're already seeing the fallout from this hack.
A ransomware attack in Iowa, this time targeting New Cooperative.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us today for the first episode of a four-part Glacier Farm Media podcast series that we're calling The Cyber Savvy Farmer. As your farm equipment and the data that it generates become more and more plugged into the Internet of Things, it's going to become more important than ever to look at cyberspace through a business risk management lens. My name's Dave Bedard, and I'll be hosting parts 2, 3, and 4, where we're going to talk with well-known Canadian experts in the fields of safety and cybersecurity about the specific security risks on the farm, about misinformation and what motivates the bad actors, and about what you can do to help protect yourself and your farming operations against these risks. Here in this first installment, though, the topic is ransomware, and your host for the discussion is going to be Scott Garvey, who you all know as a longtime contributor and editor with Grain News and Country Guide on all things relating to farm machinery. Let's have a listen.
It's May 10th, 8 a.m. Sunny with a chill in the air that seems a little out of place for this time of year in southern Alberta. Shelley Merritt watches her two kids, 9-year-old Brandon and 7-year-old Bella, wave by from the school bus that will carry them the 15 or so kilometers from the Merritt farm to their school in Airdrie. Before the bus rolled up, the kids had raced into the barn to check on the calf their dad Cody had moved under the heat lamp last night. They're 3 weeks into calving, 41 new calves, and this was the first one in trouble. The kids wanted to help shifting straw to keep the newborn calf warm. These kids know they're the fourth generation on the Merritt farm, and Shelley knows that as young as they are, they take helping out around the farm seriously. Shelley swings the gate closed and turns to head back to the house. The list of things to get done today is long, and she'd have to find some time in there to catch up on the farm's books. It's been a roller coaster year. The new tractor and drill they bought 2 months ago has set them back, but its upgraded precision systems will save time and money in the long run. And right now, at least, moisture conditions are good, enough to get the crop off to a good start. She's nearly back to the house when she sees Cody cresting the hill in the old service truck. That's strange, she thinks to herself. He's only been seeding for an hour. She knows how tight the timing is to get the canola planted. She knew how the day should run. She was planning to bring fertilizer out at 8:30 and they would reload. He'd run her back to the yard for the pickup truck full of seed bags and head back out. Then she'd get started on the meals she'd be taking out to him as he worked through the day. At this time of year, she's not used to seeing him heading home until long after dark. So something was wrong. Well, if it's a new tractor, she thought, at least it's still on warranty. Cody, what's up? She said as he pulled into the yard. Look at this, she read the message. We are Legion. We have taken control of your equipment. You will pay $10,000 in Bitcoin and then we will release it. She looks up at Cody, who had gone back to scrolling through the phone, shaking his head in disbelief. It just shut down, the operating system, computers, everything. I tried calling the dealer, couldn't get through. So I tried emailing, and that's when I found this. I jumped on Twitter, and it's crazy, just crazy. It's happening everywhere. Shelley didn't understand what she was hearing. Cody, what are you talking about? What's crazy? What's everywhere? Who's Legion? How can they shut down our tractor? Cody takes off his cap and runs a hand through his hair. I don't know. It's on Twitter. All over Twitter. Hackers, I guess. They sabotaged the latest software upgrade the dealer sent out last week. It hit everyone who upgraded last week. Shelley helped pick that tractor out when they bought it. It's a popular color with farmers. Cody, that's thousands of farms, millions of acres. That can't be. As Shelley tries to take it all in, Cody makes a beeline for the front door. They both know that this time of year, every day they delay getting that crop seeded is costing them yield. Being shut down, or more accurately, locked out, adds up to thousands of dollars per day. And they're just one farm. If this doesn't end fast, the cost to the country could be billions.
Well, you've just heard Glacier Farm Media's Laura Rance describe a fictitious situation in which a farm is subject to a ransomware attack. So, is that a realistic problem? Is that something producers should be concerned about? Joining me this morning to discuss that very thing are two cybersecurity and technology analysts, Ritesh Kotak, who's a cybersecurity and tech analyst and a senior advisor to the Canadian Ag Project, along with Janos Bochner, who's the investigative lead of that project. Both of them have a lot of experience in cybersecurity and are well positioned to discuss this. So good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good to be with you, Scott.
Thank you. Ritesh, let me start with you. Should we be worried about that as an ordinary average farmer? Is that something that should be in the back of our minds?
I think so. And let's just break it down. Here's the thing, is that the equipment that was used 20 years ago is no longer the equipment that is being used today. We're talking about automation. We're talking about connectivity. And we've seen in other sectors where they end up getting breached, and the impact that it has on everyday organizations and individuals. And we talk about the JBS breach. We talk about hospitals and other critical infrastructures that are being hit with ransomware. And to the average person, it might just be like, okay, you got hit with ransomware. But there is a ripple effect. Everyone in the supply chain, the employees, their customers, everybody gets impacted by these types of breaches. And we're seeing it more and more frequently, and it's becoming even more devastating to the community at large. And the reason for that is more devices are being connected to the internet, whether it be through Wi-Fi or a lot of these devices now actually coming with connectivity built right into it. So they actually have essentially a SIM card, like your phone, 4G connectivity. And when you have that, there's benefits to it. But there's also potential risks that are associated to it. So we're starting to see some elements of it. We're definitely seeing it in other industries. And as an everyday farmer, or if you're in the ag sector, this is something you should definitely be concerned about.
But Janos, Ritesh brings up a good point. We're not dealing with mechanical injection engines anymore. We're dealing with connected machines. The majority of equipment going out these days is telematically enabled. We're seeing an awful lot of talk from the major manufacturers about going to fully automated systems, machines working in the field with no supervisors. So I assume you agree that this sort of connectivity risk for the average individual farmer is a growing concern.
Yeah, and I think the thing that underlines that is, the technology you talked about a moment ago was sort of the technology of the 1920s to the 2020s, the technology of the last century. Whether you're talking about trying to get to a better carbon position as a what's currently a conventional operation, whether you're talking about food production of the future that might be more lab-based, or whether you're talking about regenerative farming, all of those areas are going to have a lot of pressures, but opportunities to embrace technology further to, do more precise applications of inputs. Some of those have increased, several 100% just since the war in Ukraine, as an example. So there are a lot of pressures and a lot of opportunities to embrace digital technology. And along with that, we'll go different kinds of risks that really need to be paid attention to.
Yeah, we do see computers really making our machines really capable of some things that weren't even imaginable 40 years ago, say the 70s and 80s with the technology then. And we're seeing some incredible technology coming out. Of course, all connected back to the major manufacturers. And an example of that recently, of course, is in the Ukraine, where Russian military was reportedly making off with a bunch of new John Deere equipment. And John Deere was able, from their headquarters, to disable all this equipment. Is that the kind of situation that could happen to a farmer, that a hack through a major manufacturer's system could shut down their system?
Yes, absolutely. You will be able to. That can happen, and we're seeing that. A few years ago, I don't know if anyone follows DEF CON or some of the big security conferences, and what we saw was hackers were able to actually, and let's use the term hackers loosely. Let's call them cybersecurity professionals, because that's what they are. I think hacking in itself gets a really bad rap. There's white hat hackers, there's gray hat, there's black hat hackers as well. But there's people that actually go around looking for vulnerabilities, and they found them in vehicles, for example, where they're able to shut down elements of a vehicle, take control. And the reason for that is, these vehicles no longer are just cars. They're essentially computers with wheels now. And as a result, there's risk that is associated with that. And we're seeing that in with respect to farming equipment as well. And I think this example that you just mentioned about the theft of farming equipment where it was remotely disabled, yeah, that is something that is possible. We're seeing that these are built-in security features, essentially, and theft prevention systems that have been built right into them. But can this technology now also be weaponized? And I think that is what we're alluding to. This was a positive outcome. If somebody steals your equipment, you want it shut down. But can somebody then remotely do the exact same thing through what we call the DDoS, a denial of service attack? And here's the thing. If it's connected to the internet and you're able to get access to the right platforms and systems, yeah, you'll be able to do things like that. And this was used for good. Can it also be weaponized and used for evil?
So it brings up the question, from which end will hackers, would they get into the ag equipment to harm the individual farmer? Would it be through the major manufacturer's main system and down to the manufacturer that way? Or is there some responsibility or some risk on the part of individual farmers to protect and safeguard their systems to prevent access that way? Or are both a possibility?
Well, I think both are technically a possibility. It's essentially, there's multiple doors that are left open for these hackers to exploit. And you don't need to have a completely open door. As long as it's ajarred a little bit, they'll be able to figure out ways into the system. And all the more reason that we really look at cybersecurity, especially in this sector or any sector, as something that's continuous. It cannot be a checkbox exercise where we just check the box and say, yeah, I got two-factor authentication, check, done, move on. No. The best way to think about this is, everyone listening to this, take out your phone and go to your respected app store. You probably got a bunch of updates for the numerous apps that you have on your device. Those updates are not net new features. They're not new things that you can do on that app. There's security updates. Those are vulnerabilities that have been discovered majority of the time. And these are patches that are going to prevent you from being victimized by these hackers. So it just goes to show you just how continuous this needs to be. Recently, there was a great article written or presentation actually at DEF CON. I think it was DEF CON 29 by SickCodes. And he actually looked at farming equipment, and I had a chance to go through some of the material, and it was fascinating what he was able to find. There were multiple vulnerabilities. So there's clearly vulnerabilities potentially physically with the device or with the equipment. Is the equipment actually being connected into a system? Can it be remotely accessed? Kind of those questions that we normally think about, but also with respect to the vendor. And there were vulnerabilities that were found with a particular vendor with respect to their web server. And if they're and if you're able to do the proper API calls, again, pretty simple for a security researcher, they were able to find certain vulnerabilities, such as being able to access what an individual's username might be. And you can imagine once you have somebody's username, you can do what's called a phish or a spear phish, where you send them an email and try to convince them that's legitimate with certain information. They click on it and you can get access to their account. Now, why is that important? Because now that you have access to this vendor account, you got access to purchase history. You know exactly what type of equipment that they purchased. You know the model numbers. And if you have the model numbers and the type of equipment, you know that there might, what potential vulnerabilities might exist. So to answer your question, yeah, there's device security or the security of the actual item itself, but there's also this higher level, you know, multi-stakeholder approach of what are all the different threats and how do you protect them or at least be able to minimize the impact that a breach would actually have within your ecosystem.
So that brings up a question. What does a farmer do if that's it, that scenario that Laura Ransunger described at the head of the program actually happened? What's the next step?
Well, I think the immediate next step is to, I call it the bandage approach, right? Is step one, you want to stop the bleeding. So disconnect, get the right assistance. It's also important to know that when you are a victim of a ransomware attack or some sort of DDoS or some sort of hack, that is a criminal code offense. So you should be contacting your local police department. They do have resources, or they should have resources in place and at least be able to provide you with some sort of assistance in the immediate. But here's a great example of why really thinking this stuff through, and this is why I am thankful to all the listeners right now, because you're starting to really think about what do I do if I'm in the middle of this attack? Best way to think about this is let's take this out of the cyber realm and put this into the physical realm. So instead of it being a hack on a farming equipment, let's just say that there was a fire, for example. Well, we know what to do when there's a fire, right? We got fire alarms. We invest in prevention. We got sprinkler systems. We might have fire extinguishers. We call 911. The fire truck comes. We have insurance in place that helps us get through a fire event. Well, cyber shouldn't be any different. We know what to do when it's in the physical world. You know, we have fire alarms and we practice them. Well, what do we do when it's a cyber alarm? So we got to start now. So what does that mean? Well, have contingency plans. Think about ways of who you're going to call if you do get hacked, if you do get breached. We can also learn from other industries as well. I kind of look at the healthcare sector when they got hit with ransomware. They had to move to physical. They had to move to physical documents and papers and tools. Can your organization, your farm, do you have the ability to go physical? These are all things that you got to do. You got to have a plan. People need to be aware and you got to practice it. Practice makes perfect, but there's no real playbook because every situation is different.
Yanis, are we keeping up with the criminals or does it seem like they're getting ahead of us on this?
Well, there, as Ritesh says, more often than not, there's a lot of money behind these bigger exploits. And there are a few things going on right now as well. There's ransomware exploits that you can purchase. So it's called ransomware as a service. So you may not be the person who developed a sophisticated ransomware exploit, but you're a criminal or you're someone else, you can buy it and you can deploy it to generate some profit for yourself, your group, or to create some disruption for maybe ideological reasons. you know, some analysts are of the view that, the bigger ransomware exploits are going to continue to focus on very large targets because, they may be more likely and they're going to have the deeper pockets to pay out. But that artificial intelligence and, machine learning enabled exploits may make it easier to just target through a shotgun approach, the everyday person. And so I think, one of the vulnerabilities that a lot of farmers experience is that their networks are all run off, the same system, which could be the system that, mom and dad use and the kids use. So it can be difficult to keep up, but some basic steps can really still make a big difference in terms of your posture and in terms of your ability to recover.
What steps would you recommend?
Again, I think, going back to our previous point, and Janosch, I think you made this idea around posture. And if we go back to the scenario, here's the thing. In the scenario, it tells us that your equipment has been taken over and you got to pay $10,000 in Bitcoins. Here's the thing. Do you really know what a Bitcoin is? Have you ever dealt with any sort of cryptocurrency? And I always get asked the question, should I pay the ransom or should I not pay the ransom? And my position has always been, you don't pay the ransom. And the reason you don't pay the ransom is because of three things. Number one is you don't know if they're going to come back and further extort you because, there's no honor here. These are criminals, right? They're hackers. They've taken over your equipment. You don't know if they're going to actually come back and further extort you. Give you the decryption key, but you're also funding organized crime and potentially terroristic organizations. And there might be laws around this as well. And we're seeing this in the US. There's talks right now about making the payment of ransomware illegal. Why is this all important? These are all things that need to be built into your plan. All things that you need to understand. There's no industry right now that is completely physical. There's always some element of social, cyber, digital. And you might not be aware of it, but there is. That's why you need to really think these things through and have a plan of what you're going to do when this actually happens. Are you backing your stuff up? Do you have a plan? Do you have an actual plan in place? Do you know who to call? Do you have access to your vendors? All these things are very important, but I did want to get back to the original statement here, or I guess the problem statement, the scenario that was so eloquently laid out. And if you really break it down, these are all questions that you need to ask yourself now to prepare for the potential of this happening tomorrow.
So it sounds like everybody needs a plan B. They need to know what their service providers can do for them in the case of a problem, who to turn to and what to do and to be prepared for it, to not suddenly get this coming out of left field. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I always say, what do you do when the lights get turned off and you're in the dark? What's your plan? And you really got to think about that. And, I think we all experience that when our power goes out and we're like, well, do we have candles? Do we have batteries? Do we have a radio? Well, you got to think about this from a commercial standpoint. Do you have the ability for business continuity in a time when the lights get turned off?
Producers are good business people and they're good risk managers. So again, it's, just building off a lot of things that they know how to do really well and seeing that this also applies to, the electronic dimension of the work that they do.
So a new element of the farming in the 21st century. No longer is it just, are we going to get enough rain or are we going to get too much rain? And now it's we're preparing for all sorts of threats that our previous generation wouldn't have even imagined before. So gentlemen, let me throw it out to you. Any last thoughts on this? Any advice for farmers that we haven't touched on? Janosch, start with you.
We worked with some feedback that we received from some producers through a Glacier Farm Media series of webinars, and we've crafted a set of questions that producers can ask of their vendors, suppliers, to help them have a better idea of the safeguards that those folks are bringing into their equation. And we also, you know, have a list of some practical tips. So there's a suite of just a few buckets of things that you can do to make things safer for you right now.
And kind of my last, you know, my last piece of advice is this can be extremely overwhelming. I get it. You may not be technical. You might have not even thought about these things. But you shouldn't be afraid of trying to create a plan. There are resources available. There's questions that you can ask. There are sample plans that are available. And just remember that cybersecurity has been traditionally reactive, not proactive. In other words, it only becomes a problem when you or somebody you know gets victimized. And you're like, okay, now maybe I'll invest in it. But that's when it's expensive and it's very difficult. But if you're proactive, if you educate yourself, if you invest the time now and the minimal amount of money compared to if you are a victim, then you're going to be, it's going to be a lot more expensive, not to mention the stress that it's going to bring, then you're going to be much better off. So my advice is educate yourself, have a plan, and be proactive, not reactive when it comes to protecting yourself, your organization, and our community in general. You farmers and people in the agriculture sector have a very important role to play. And the fact that it's as a result of your hard work, we're able to get food on our tables. All the more reason that we need to invest more and really help each other out in finding a solution, because we're all in this together.
Great conversation this morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining me. And I hope our listeners took some of that advice to heart and are going to start thinking about cybersecurity on the farm. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this first episode in a special Between the Rows series on cybersecurity. What should we take away from this discussion? The important thing to remember is that the fictional situation described at the start of this podcast has now become a very real possibility. That might be a little shocking if you've not considered it before, but it's the new reality in this century. To prevent such a ransomware attack, we need to remember that we all have a role to play in digital security. We need to be diligent about protecting our own access portals, keep passwords protected, and do everything we can to prevent unauthorized system access through our digital devices. And if such an attack does occur, we will need to be prepared for it. That will require doing a little research. Your plan should include a list of who to contact to report such an event and who to turn to for help. Importantly, everyone should have a backup plan to keep farm operations moving along until digital access is restored. I'm Scott Garvey, and I've been your host for this episode. Watch for more podcasts in this series coming soon. Thanks for listening.